Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
You may.
Seven or eight quick ones, and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Bob Zemo Radio Showgram is proud to present to you insights and commentary from a fat guy in spandex. Oh, good God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or good evening, or whatever it is when you're listening to this fandangoed podcast. This whole worldwide interweb thing is confusing to me at times. Hey, I'm a middle-aged, overweight, underemployed, overeducated white guy. You know, I know some tech, baby. I get some tech going. But this podcast stuff, holy cats, you know. I thought, what the hell? I thought, you know, what was missing in the world, what was missing in all of the noise and all of the chaos and all of the media is the voice of some fat guy in spandex out there pontificating about learning how to live life. You know, I've seen a lot, folks. I mean, I've been there and done that multiple times. I have a life story that would probably be comparable to the old miniseries Roots, although not in terms of the story. Holy cats. I remember when Roots came on. That was when the miniseries was an actual miniseries. That was when it was 6-7 days in a row. People didn't go anywhere. Places canceled things because everyone had to be home glued to their television because it was in the time before DVRs or VCRs. In fact, I think back when I was younger growing up in suburbia, in the 70s, that was right about the time my parents, who were always ahead of the Joneses, got our first beta VCR. I mean, it's a beta, folks. I mean, beta is what the industry standard is. And then, of course, when they went to private home, quarter-inch tape, the broadcast industry, of course, was a one-inch or half-inch tape. And then the home industry, quarter-inch, beta blew it. Beta blew it because the people that manufactured the Beta tapes didn't think anyone would want to. Why on earth would you ever record that more than 2 hours on a tape is what they were thinking. And, of course, VHS came around and said, well, let's give it a whirl. Let's let people be able to put 8 hours on there. And holy cats, you know, now on my DVR I've got 100-some hours of various television programming. So how we have advanced. But Roots, what a miniseries. Good golly, Alex Haley. Wow, what a life story generationally, huh? Holy cats. But I've got one of those stories, you know, one of those stories where I've been to hell and back multiple times, you know, just minding my own business, just going about my day. Life comes over and just takes a big old turd on you. Life comes over, just takes a big old crap. And you just feel cruddy, obviously. A lot of us have been there. A lot of us know what that pain is like. A lot of us know what happens when life just comes over and takes a big old crap on you. Sometimes life will just come over and take a big old fart on you. You know, it's preparing. Not as big a world earth-shattering event, but, you know. So I thought to myself, what the hell? I've got a phone, I've got an internet connection, I can have a podcast just like everybody else out there, and I got a blog as well. Just going to show you that as modern technology, or I should say as modern life advances technologically, holy cats, any moron, any idiot can get on the blower and just pontificate and go on and on and on and on. Hopefully, though, at some point, you'll pick something up, you know. I mean, we could be miles apart in terms of gender, in terms of race, or ethnicity, in terms of religion in terms of value. And the beautiful part about the world, and I think the coolest part about social media, is that we can celebrate that diversity. Some fat guy in spandex, middle-aged, overweight, undereducated, overeducated, underemployed. Some guy might be able to say something to a 20-something person. Who knows? Plus, the internet is global, so God knows how I'm playing in, you know, in Russia or India. Probably have no clue what some fat ass in his, you know, middle age is. Holy cats! Anyways, folks, today what I want to talk about is just, have you ever heard the expression of "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired"? I am just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Kind of goes back to that whole notion I was talking about earlier. That lovely image, that beautiful image that I've painted with my broad stroke paintbrush, my paint by numbers. The whole idea of life just messing you up. Life just reaching inside and grabbing out your heart. Life just sucker punching you and taking the wind out of you, taking the wind from your sails. Some of us know what that's like. Perhaps the death of a loved one, the death of a child, the diagnosis of a child, the loss of a job. Here in America, as technology advances, lots of us my age, our jobs have changed. Perhaps we've lost a job. Perhaps we've lost a home. In losing a job, we've lost our financial security, our ability to put a roof over our family's head and put food on the table. That's just about the time when you go to KFC, you grab a spork, you come home, you do a surgical procedure in which you remove your testicles and then you put them in a ball jar and you fill that up with formaldehyde and you put it on your mantle. Because as a man, when you can't provide or put a roof over your family's head, it is deballing and debilitating. Deballing or detesticling and debilitating. One of those life craps on you moments. And at the end of the day, all of us have choices when life craps on us. All of us have an opportunity to make a choice. We can either dig a hole, crawl in, and pull a rock over and live like Patrick Starr from time to time. Yes, indeed, I do know SpongeBob. I may be middle-aged, I may be 50, but I've had kids. And there's nothing wrong with Patrick Starr. I like him. Kind of like his approach to life. Sometimes blissful ignorance is the best psychotropic medication any of us can have. But sometimes we just want to dig a hole, crawl in and pull a rock over, and forget about the world for a while. Forget about the problems. Or you can roll up your sleeves, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and start the long and tedious process of healing. Because as my friends from AC/DC sing about being on the highway to hell, when you are on that highway to hell, you are on a trip and a journey on an adventure that you probably didn't ask for. It's like getting lost in some state you've never been in. And you think to yourself, and I've done this, hey, let's take the scenic route. Forget the interstate. You see nothing but interstate on the interstate. Let's go traveling. Now, this is in the days before GPS when I would travel and I did video production for a manufacturing facility. And I thought, what the hell? I got some time. Let's take the scenic route. Yeah. Twist and turned around. Probably not a good thing to do in the Great Smoky Mountains. But, of course, I'm not known for making great choices from time to time. I'm known for getting myself in a pickle once or twice. But sometimes you get off the beaten path. Sometimes you get off the interstate. You start to take a little travel, and all of a sudden you find yourself on an adventure you weren't planning on. And this is what happens when life takes a crap on us sometimes, and we find ourselves on the highway to hell. Kicking and screaming every inch of the way. Final destination, the gates of hell, welcomed by the devil himself. Ha ha, welcome! Welcome to the land of life sucks ass. I will be your tour guide. Thank you for traveling the highway to hell. But you have the opportunity at that moment to give the devil the one-finger salute and say, I am out of here. and you turn and you walk away from the gates of hell and you fail to set up shop, you ain't going to do it. But that takes a lot of effort. The amount of effort that goes into cognitively reframing, boy, I sound edumacated, don't I? The effort that it goes into twisting and turning and cognitively trying to find significance and meaning in the events of your life takes a lot of work. For those who must heal after being dragged kicking and screaming to the gates of hell on the highway to hell or through or over the highway to hell, you are faced with an undaunting task of developing perseverance and overcoming adversity, and that takes energy, effort, work. When it comes to healing, I often utter a four-letter word that ends in K. Say it with me, everybody. Work. Work. I'm overeducated because I enjoy work. And I went back to school and I got a counseling degree. I'm underemployed because, hey, let's face it, counselors don't make a boatload of money. But I'm not in it for the money. I would like to be able to send my kids to college, maybe go on a simple vacation once a year, be able to fix the car when the idiot light goes on because the car was manufactured last century. Simple things. I'm not able to do some of those things because I don't make a boatload of money. And again, it ain't about the money. It's about giving back. It's about paying it forward for me because that is a part of my healing plan. You have a healing plan. But to put it together, to figure out what's going to work for you, to be who you are, to be authentic, to be genuine, to heal proudly, to heal openly as you want. You know, I often tell my wife, if the show's going to do anything or I'm going to get anywhere doing all of this mental wellness stuff, I need to expose myself more often. And as my wife knows, I enjoy being exposed. And I enjoy exposing myself. I like walking around the house exposed all the time. Then I go out in public and I like to expose myself. That's when my giving back, my paying it forward, that's when my sort of mission or ministry becomes work-related. When I have to expose myself, develop the brand, then it becomes work. And I have this adverse reaction to work because I spend so much time healing. To find meaning and significance, to learn how to manage the anxieties that I have after those trips to hell and back have planted movies in my head that, oh, this could happen again, oh, this could happen again, oh, this could happen again. It's like having my own beta VCR in there with more than a two-hour tape, several hundred two-hour tapes. I haven't moved to VHS yet because I'm an old broadcaster, so I stay with the good stuff. But I'm living my life, and bam, the VCR goes off and reminds me of that crisis, and that crisis, and that crisis, and that crisis, and then I'm forced to have to cognitively reframe. I'm forced to have to try to tolerate the distress, tolerate the bullshit of life, and that requires work, all that cognitive stuff, not to mention all of the behavioral things I have to do to manage my anxiety and heal my pain. It's just not fair. I've been to hell and back so often, I've suffered so greatly, it's just not fair that I have to continue to work.
Here is done. I'm needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West. Wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets. Wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity. And wherever a people cry out for justice.